Tell me about when you were wounded.
At Bopti, after Bopti finally fell, we took Bopti. Word came, Bopti was bad. They were shooting anti-tank shells. They were coming right through the trees and everything. You know, there's nothing like an anti-tank shell, which is armor-piercing. When it hits a tree and ricochets, that's worse than shrapnel, because that thing ricochets. It's a big, big shell, and that thing is slapping trees and everything. And don't explode unless it hits point blank. And boy, that was the weirdest sound. What the hell is this, a new weapon? Very weird sound.
Did you have tanks with you at that point?
No.
Okay.
No tanks. Then we pulled out, and I was put ahead with Hernandez and myself, head scouts. So we move along this dirt road, and they said they spotted from the air, they spotted a large body of Germans. So we in file, you know, one squad, platoon, two platoons back and moving forward. Another company, half a quarter of a mile away, moving forward, trying to see if we can contact and flank them. I'm going along this dirt road, and all of a sudden the dirt road drops off from the side of the hill and goes down, and then levels off, and there's farmhouses, and got to open fire on us. Well, my job is done. I drew fire. I hit the ground. And the next squad deploys immediately and opens fire. Because I can't fire back. I stand there. The second shot's going to get me for sure. If they miss the first one, they're going to get me the second. So same thing in Normandy. I hit the ground and then let the squad take up. And two Polish soldiers come out. Some of them, I guess, escaped. Me Polski, they're coming out with their hands up. You see, that was bad because already now up ahead, the main body of Germans, or enemy, because enemy had everything. They had Poles, they had even Russians that were taken prisoner and put up in the front as soldiers. Now they heard the shooting, so they know that there's a movement coming forward. So that was bad. Took the two prisoners, the old man, Millsaps. He says, okay, move ahead. So I go ahead. We're up like 100 yards, more, 200 yards up ahead of the main body, one on each side of the road. And we're going along. All of a sudden, comes the thicker brush, and then all of a sudden, thicker woods. And on the side, there was like low ground and fields up above. So as we're coming in, I hear like a screech, a high-pitched screech. So I stop, I put my hand up, I move over to a wall, I look and I see a farmhouse inside the woods, you know, like a chalet, another building. So I stop, the old man comes running up, he says, he always called me Speedy, he says, what's up? I says, you know what I heard? I says, sounded either like a woman screaming or a high-pitched voice yelling. He says, all right. He says, you and Hernandez take off on the right flank. And he called up Thomas and another kid. He says, skirt those buildings and keep going. That was the angel on my shoulder. If I didn't hear that scream, and he must have thought I was starting to get jittery. So we go off about 100, 200 yards off to the right flank of the column as side riders. And we're going along, and went another 600 yards. Boom! Both scouts killed dead right in the middle of the field.
Of the two other?
We were even us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The company deployed.
What was it that had killed them?
They ran right smack into the German positions. The Germans were there, you know, they lined up. All of a sudden, they seen these two guys coming up, and they just, boom, one of them, instead of waiting, let them come forward more, get the main body up, they killed them both. Boom, the fire, and then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. Now, we're way on the flank. So, the company deployed, and the firing started. I mean, we had some battles that were brutal. This one was unbelievable. There must have been, I'd say, 30, 40 machine guns going at any one time. Bullets were just cutting everything apart. The mortars are coming in. So we're out on the flank now. I'm trying to work my way back in. So I work over to a hedgerow, like. I get to this dirt bank, and I climb up on the bank, trying to see ahead. And I look out there, and I see something shine or move out there, and I, pow, I open up. Next thing I know, boom, the dirt flies up against me. Holy Christ, I get down. Crawl away 10 feet away from there, climb up, and the same thing with Hernandez. Get up on the bank again and look, you know, and I'm next to a tree. I'm looking, and see something out there, like brush moving. Boom, I open up. Wow, the bark and everything flies off the tree. I said, son of a bitch. This guy can see me. Right? I didn't know where the hell it was coming from. I go down the third time. I get up again. I get down in the brush. I fire two or three rounds. The next thing I know, whang, that was it. I got hit. I got nailed beautiful. Bullet came from the right. And that's when Hernandez, he took off and he fired on him. Then he got hit in his shoulder. Then the main body sent troops, they knocked that one out. But they caught me, the bullet went through the stock, through my my first aid packet, and tore my arm out. And the thing is, I come to, and I'm laying on my back with my arm under me like this. I rolled off the bank, you know. That's all I heard was a violin string. I was out completely. And all of a sudden I started to come to, and I figured, well, I'm dead. I'm waiting to go to heaven. All I see is like clouds, you know, like a mist. And I figured, I'm going in heaven. I said, well, then all of a sudden I start to feel pain. Then I realize I'm hit. And then the tree up above me, I could see the leaves start to form. I said, holy Christ, I'm still here, there's a tree. Then I hear all the machine guns going, you know, everything came back, my senses, holy Christ, and I'm going, I think I must have been hitting their face. I'm numb from here down. I didn't know, that pain was one pain all through my body. I didn't know where I was hit. Finally I look and I see the blood squirting out. And my arm is under me. And I said, well, geez, they blew my arm off. You know, and then I rolled over, I finally got my arm out. Stuck my hands in, squeezed the blood into the hole, got my hands and fingers in there, and just squeezed as much as I could. Hernandez come over. In the meantime, I'm going into shock. It was all this blood on those. I must have been maybe a minute, two, 3 minutes, bleeding like hell. He goes over, he says, you're okay. Takes my canteen, he gives me, and I milked the cow just before, and I got some milk. The milk was sour. Oh, Jesus Christ, they think Jesus Christ on the cross, and they give him vinegar. So then he gives me some of his water, and then he takes off, and he got hit later on. So then I drag myself down, go down there, and I got the handkerchief, and I put a tourniquet as tight as I could get it around there. Blood all the way down. I work my way over to where the kid from Peoria, that was his name. Yeah. I used to call him the whiskey capital of the world. Peoria, Illinois. Anyway, I get over to him, and he had the machine gun. The machine gun was firing so much that it was squealing. The bullets were squealing, trying to get out. That's how hot the barrel was. And then I went crazy. I had a Luger, and I started firing a Luger, going from hedgerow to hedgerow. The old man's yelling at me to get the hell out of there, and I refused. I went crazy. I went berserk. And I start going after the Germans through the hedgerows. Finally, they got me, they calmed me down and made me go back. And that I got the Bronze Star for that. And then I went back and I told Taylor, Captain Taylor, because he was back where the mortars were. I says, your mortars are way off. I says, you gotta come in closer, you're firing way the hell beyond, they're closer. But then they brought the mortars in and they start pounding. And then eventually after about 20 more minutes, the fighting broke off. The Germans pulled out and we pulled out. too big. We had a tremendous force there. Tremendous force. We lost a lot of men. I think that day alone, I was one of them, but we must have lost about 15 to 20 men right there.
Out of how many?
Out of about 180. Mm. 100. No, less than that, because we were already down. We were way down in strength by that time. We were way down in strength. I think when we went in there, we only had about 100, a little over 100 men. And the A Company and C Company were in the same position. Because you can't replace casualties like a regular infantry, see?
Mm-hmm.
They got to come from your... Like in the Bulge, they broke up the 509, the gingerbread unit. I called the gingerbread battalion. They broke it up as replacements for...
Why was it called the gingerbread?
That was their logo. And they broke it up. They were so battered and depleted that they used them after to make replacements for us, to give us replacements. Like Christmas, when I lost all those men, I lost 14 men, 14 or 15. I never knew the exact amount I had. I think it was 30 or 31 men. And the lieutenant ran out on us. The other lieutenant was killed. And then they gave me five replacements the next day. Then Payet got his head blown off with artillery. So then they gave me another two men. Then we went into the attack on the Deer Dumont Ridge attack. And we swept that down. We lost some more men. Then they give me some more men. I write their names down. I couldn't remember. 2 days later, one or two of them are dead, or a prisoner, or what. It's unbelievable how many names you wrote down, and then that's it. They were either casualties or taken prisoner or what. And you never knew their name. They sent me some prayers. I said, what are you on? He said, all right, here you go, an assistant machine gunner. I need a rifleman with the mortar squad. That's it, you know, you don't even know their names. And a lot of them green kids, too.